because I was here. I was invited by members of the community to come in and advise them before the ammonia was added.
Oh, okay.
And we tried to advise them there are other ways you can come into compliance without going to an ammonia feed. And we gave them a list of recommendations that included cleaning up the organics that are forming at the treatment plant, cleaning up the distribution system, you know, looking at the reservoirs, those types of things. Made recommendations before they went to chloramine. They had already committed to MODNR that they were going to go to chloramination for compliance with the stage 2 disinfection byproduct rule. So that we're clear, we are not against the use of the disinfectants made available by the industry. We're against the use of chloramination for compliance with stage 2 disinfection byproduct rule, because all that does is sequester the reactions with the dirt that they're failing to clean out of the water. They leave TOC in the water that reacts with the chlorine that forms regulated disinfection byproducts. Those same organics are staying in the water. That dirt is staying in the water. So whether they use chlorine that forms regulated disinfection byproducts or chloramine that makes unregulated disinfection byproducts, toxicologists have reported the disinfection byproducts associated with chloramination, particularly in this water supply, this Mississippi water, when you feed that, ammonia forms. Basically, ammonia is nitrogen, and it forms a category of disinfection byproducts called nitrosamines. And those nitrosamines are 1,000 times more toxic than the trihalomethanes that are formed with regular chlorine. And it doesn't mean you're not forming trihalomethanes. It means you're getting just under the regulatory limit that they test for once a quarter. Okay? Those trihalomethanes are formed every day. And simple. The reports are there. I didn't pay for these reports. The city has paid for these reports time and time again. One of the things that the federal regulation says is if you form trihalomethanes, you should at first engage in enhanced coagulation, which results in more sludge at the treatment plant, or which takes out the dirt, or once you do enhanced coagulation, follow it with lime softening or granular activated carbon adsorption, where it basically sucks the dirt out of the water. Okay? They didn't do either of those. They literally waited 2 years past the regulation date. They were under a compliance order from MODNR. Their backs were against the wall, and they said, what's quick, cheap, and easy? And they went to chloramination. Now, does that make them compliant with the regulation? I'll quote the head of the EPA's Office of Drinking Water. Makes them compliant with the regulation, but certainly not with the spirit of the law, which is why the six-year review is changing the law. Chloramine's going away nationwide. As a tool for compliance with stage 2 disinfection byproduct. It's still a good and viable disinfectant. We're not against that. We're against its use in dirty water. The regulation says clean up the water. It does not say add ammonia. And that's where they're twisting the words to their advantage. And that's unfortunate. I mean, we have no skin in this game. If they vote this down tomorrow and this group disbands, we've got 500 other towns to go to. We're not just picking on Hannibal. We're doing this around the country. If you Google me, I spoke in Ketchikan, Alaska. Okay, I spoke at a very lively debate in Charlottesville, Virginia, where they didn't vote not to use ammonia. They voted not to use chloramine. They did that without our assistance. Mm-hmm. I've been helping this community on this one. Do I like the regulation, you know, prohibits the use of ammonia? That was done at the suggestion of the city attorney. Okay, we worked with him. We had communication back and forth. And he said that would be the best way, the way we write regulations. I'm not a lawyer. He is. And he advised that would be the best way to write the regulation in Hannibal so that it could be affected and effective. So, I mean, at the end of the day, the best part about what's happened is many communities aren't even offered the choice of the ability to vote on something like this. And the people of Hannibal are. But it took an awful lot of work to get here. And this community should be very proud that they are here. Now, whether they voted up or they voted down is a local issue.
If they voted up, if this,
vote for it, yeah.
If they vote in favor,
yes.
What happens next?
Then I would believe that the city would have to come up with a plan to operate the system within the law, within the regulation, meaning not form the regulated disinfection byproducts, but also not do it with ammonia. okay, which means they would have to look at the other recommendations in the most recent Jacobs report, in the reports from 10 years ago, and engage in some enhanced coagulation. One of the things that they're probably not telling you is that that treatment plant is built for 7.5 million gallons a day. Mm-hmm. They're running it on average about three and a half. I mean, I looked it up today. Yeah, three and a half. I've seen a couple of days where it spiked up to four, but that's okay. Mm-hmm. So they're running it at less than half capacity. When you have the ability to run a water treatment system at half capacity, you slow everything down. You have more surface area to accomplish. You could do it without really, you could enhance coagulation without spending a lot of money. Okay, because you're running the system at a slower pace, at a slower rate. You could go out and engage in some maintenance activities in the distribution system and be in full compliance. Okay, if they can't, then Jacobs has said you may want to look at granular activated carbon. They go to granular activated carbon, they're done. They're not going to form chloraminated disinfection byproducts, They're going to take out all the TOC. Okay. That's the top of the line. That's a grade A system, okay? And if they do engage in that activity, it will solve their problem, and you'll have much better water quality. Oh, and accidentally or incidentally, it also takes out the atrazine that's in the Mississippi River. It takes out the pharmaceuticals that are in the Mississippi River. If there is another chemical spill like there has been on the Mississippi River, it would protect against that. So if they did this and they went with the class one grade A system, it's not $10 million. It's half. It's half of that because that $10 million goes to a 7.5 million gallon treatment plant. So under the direction of the city manager, very wise man, he said, do it based on what we really do, 3.5, and do it based on 2.7, I think, or 2.8 is what they did. And that's after they lose the Rawls County water. But they put the numbers in for the 7.5 million gallon a day treatment plant. So if you take those numbers and cut them and actually cut them in half, and then even worse yet, if you look at them, the actual equipment costs are a little inflated, but that's because Mr. Stevenson says they're not going to even get around to it for 4 years. Cities put these systems in about 6 months. They're going in all around the country and they take about 6 months to go in. And so what's important to understand is if they go ahead and do this, they're going to pull out all that other stuff too. I mean, it just drives you nuts. And nobody's saying they have to do that. It was all about the sticker shock of the $10 million number.
Will they have to get permission, though, from DNR and EPA? Of course, EPA may go away next month the way people are talking, but will they have to go through that formal, you know, here's what we want to do process?
Yes, EPA has never been involved. Never, ever, ever has EPA been involved. It's only been MoDNR. And at a city council meeting about a year ago, we were hit with that. First, they told us, oh, it's too cold. We can't use carbon in Missouri because it's too cold. Well, you know what? Tell that to the people up, you know, on Lake Erie in New York and tell them out in Massachusetts, you know, they're using it outside. You're putting it in a building here because it's too cold. And then the other thing that they said was it will take 2 years to get this through, you know, 2 years to get it through MoDNR. I physically sat in MoDNR. I went and met with the entire staff, 14 of them. He said, get us the numbers. We can do this in weeks. They do have to get approval. Anytime you change a treatment technique, you do have to get approval. But I will tell you that the head of the technology review at the state of Missouri has told me, his lips, my ears, not third party, 8 weeks, he'd have it done. So it's not that big of a deal.